This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Patterson. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We're updating the report on the shots fired in Pennsylvania while former President Trump was speaking to a campaign rally, Butler, Pennsylvania, north of Pittsburgh. What we reported an hour ago was the president was considered safe. There's been an update since then by the London Telegraph site that I'm following. This is London 5 hours ahead of us, but they're following the story very carefully. It reads this way, within these last minutes. We've yet to receive official word, says the Telegraph, on exactly how President Trump was hurt. So far, the evidence suggests he was not directly hit. A Washington Post reporter says she was told by Butler County District Attorney that Trump was grazed by gunfire. That's a quote. While Axios, an American website, reports that a source said the former president was hit by, quote, glass fragments, end quote, during the shooting. Photos show President Trump was bleeding from the top of his right ear. Jeff, you have been watching this on social media. When last we spoke, we did not have a shooter, nor did we have a casualty count in any fashion whatsoever. What do we know now? Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening, John. Well, let's start with the former president. He appears to be fine. His family, his campaign, and law enforcement and hospital officials have all said that he's fine. They're going to hold him there a little bit longer to make sure he checks out okay. It appears that we have at least one bystander who is seriously wounded and is in the hospital right now receiving treatment. Another bystander appears to have succumbed to their injuries and may have been, you know, pronounced dead at the scene. And the biggest news is they believe the shooter was also killed. And this comes from the DA of Butler County there, or where the rally was held. And he said, yes, they did get the person. And there's social media showing this person apparently lying dead, sprawled on the roof of an adjacent building about 125 meters away with a direct sight line. And here's where the big mystery is how could Secret Service let people outside the security perimeter have that kind of sight line to the president and not keep it clear? I've been involved with many presidential visits and presidential campaigns before, and they've always been very scrupulous about, you know, making sure those areas are cleared and restricted. So I think we're going to see a lot of questions come up in the days and weeks that follow. And they ask, how could this have happened? How could they have allowed somebody to slip through like that and be in such a prominent shooting position? But that hasn't been verified yet. We'll wait and see. That's just the early report.
Let's update what we have. You first alerted me. My memory is it was sometime after 6 o'clock, perhaps near 6:30. The original incident, according to the Telegraph timing, was 5:20 p.m., and you picked it up on social media. What did you learn when you first checked in, Jeff?
When I first checked in, at about the time it happened, was that it was the taglines that were going out were Trump's shot, assassination, you know, all kinds of things related to that. So that took me to social media right away. Then I went to the network news. I've been following both very closely throughout the day. And I think actually network news has done a fantastic job covering it. Now, they've been moved outside the grounds because it's a crime scene now. And so they're doing their best to report from the perimeter there. But it's been an interesting bit of reporting, both from people on the ground as ordinary civilians, as well as the journalists. There has been some speculation here and there, but for the most part, they're getting out there with the news saying, this is what we saw. I was standing this close to the president, or I was standing near someone who was shot. I've seen some social media where they've interviewed a doctor who was in the crowd, and you can see his clothing is bloodstained, and he said he was trying to save one of the bystanders that was shot. So You see photos and interviews like that throughout the social media sphere, as well as mainstream news.
We have an update from London, series of updates dated 1:22 a.m., which means it was about 20 minutes ago from London. I'll start at the top. There's the former President Obama condemning a number of leaders from around the world are condemning the attack. I'm looking at the notes about the incident itself. 1:18 a.m., London reporting. Shooter was on an adjacent rooftop, consistent with your report, Jeff. John Miller, a former deputy commissioner for intelligence and counterterrorism in New York, told CNN he had been informed that a shooter gained access to an adjacent building to the Trump rally. This is your report, Jeff. He told the network, John Miller did, that the apparent shooter had been outside of the event's security perimeter on top of a building with a line of sight to Trump. That's consistent with your analysis, Jeff. The local district attorney said that a shooter was neutralized by police after the incident began. It remains unclear how exactly the security breach was able to happen. Now it gets more interesting. At 1:18 a.m., in other words, 20 minutes ago, watch. Witness said he tried to stop the gunman. A Trump supporter said he signaled to police and Secret Service agents, again consistent with your information, Jeff, that there was a man bear crawling on the roof of a building. He said he was pointing to the gunman for 2 to 3 minutes, but authorities did not react until after the first shots rang out. He had a rifle, said the witness to the BBC. We're like telling police he is right there on the roof. We see him. He's crawling. I'm thinking to myself, why is Trump still speaking? And then there's a report on video at the BBC News. So what we have now is a developing story. Everybody saw different things. And the investigation is underway. To your point, Jeff, outside the security perimeter, 25 meters was your estimate. Is that correct?
That is correct. And a security perimeter is just the area they have the fence around, that the area where people who have gone inside have been subject to magnetometers and sometimes even a pat down. And they're certainly scrutinized as they come through one by one by Secret Service and police folks who are in those areas. But that doesn't mean outside is a free for all, or it's not supposed to be. I've been in a number of different situations where Secret Service agents, and then they always bring in local police and troopers and such, were, you know, usually patrolling the grounds for up to a quarter mile or more away throughout events like this. Now, it gets kind of tough. You're not dealing with the current president, and you're not you're dealing with a lot of different campaign stops and things like that. So it's tough to get advanced teams out there to cover everything. But something this, it seems so obvious. It's just, I hate to second guess law enforcement or Secret Service people, but to think that they would basically give somebody an elevated position that close. Now, the early word is this person who was on the roof who was killed was using a long gun and probably a lower caliber, which may have saved the president and other people, more people from being killed. But the idea that somebody could get that close is astounding. Now, I do want to add one other thing. There are some reports that haven't been verified yet that the president may have been hit by a second bullet because of things they're seeing in the appearance of his suit. They've stopped and looked at photos and stopped video, and there are some things that indicate he might have been hit by something else, but it would have been an area protected by his vest. That hasn't been verified, but I'm sure that'll be looked at as well.
So what we have is no confirmation. There is video from a distance of someone prone on a rooftop. The roof, by the way, doesn't look very high. It looks like a one-story building. And in a open area, park area, perhaps it's a strip mall, I don't know. There's no ID here. The video appears to show shooter's body, writes the Telegraph. Witnesses, this is London Telegraph, 5 hours ahead of us, 1:04 a.m. their time. So that is 1:04, that is 8:04 p.m. Eastern time. Witnesses have said that a man with a rifle crawling on a roof overlooking the Trump rally. Police killed the man after multiple shots, writes the Telegraph, were fired. Multiple shots were fired during the rally. Footage on social media showed a person laying motionless on the roof. We still don't have a whole lot of information. We have more than the first time we talked. There are things about this that are not adding up yet, Jeff. I'm sure we'll get more detail. For example, as you've just evidenced, a man with a rifle and going to a rooftop within 125 meters. Is that a good shot, Jeff? 125 meters? I do not know firearms.
Well, 125 meters, works out to be over 400 feet. So it's got some distance behind it. You do really need to have a long gun, a rifle to accomplish that. And, a higher caliber bullet or gun is going to get you a farther, better, more forceful shot. I don't know how better to explain that. But There are a lot of things to be taken into account, like, you know, the windage, what were the winds like that were blowing at that time. You have a number of other factors that go into shooting that kind of distance, even curvature of the Earth. This appears to have been a smaller caliber rifle, which would have made it tougher. You know, the impact may have been less. I mean, there's a whole host of things that go into shooting from that distance. What really astounds me, though, is even if it is a one-story building, that's an elevation above the crowd. That's an elevation that was pretty much or very close to equal to what Trump's height was. And so that gives you an incredible advantage. You're not shooting up. You know, you're shooting at a target that's not really moving, that's kind of centered there, right where you need them. I've been looking at photos and video of the Secret Service counter-assault team and their special snipers that go with them everywhere. And they had snipers on an elevated platform. Later on, you could see them pointing their guns toward where that person was. And these are very high-powered rifles, and these are scoped instruments. You know, they have the best scopes you can buy on these rifles. And these are the best shooters in the world. These come out of, you know, out of the Army and other law enforcement agencies because they are the best. So why they didn't pick them up earlier, I don't know. Why their spotters didn't see them, what else they were looking at, it's hard to say. But it's a situation that's going to cause a lot of questions in the time to come.
We have some information from London that may provide some direction for your good questions, Jeff. 1:46 a.m. So that is within the last 10 minutes, I think, 10 or 15 minutes. Shooter was outside of security perimeter, says local prosecutor. That's consistent with your reporting, Jeff. We heard before questions from witnesses, writes the Telegraph, wondering why snipers or guards were not stationed on every roof near to the rally. The location of the shooter was said to be about 130 yards, 125 meters, 100 meters, from where Trump was standing in front of the lectern. Bystanders who were outside the rally said they were signaling to security that a man armed with a rifle was crawling on a shed roof. Shed roof. That's the first identification I've had of what kind of building. The bystanders wondered why no one was responding to them and then realized it was likely the police couldn't see the gunman from their positions. No identification of what they mean by police. Richard Goldinger, the Butler County District Attorney, who's the source of many of these reports, has now confirmed the shooter was outside of the security perimeter. Talking to CNN, the district attorney says he was outside of the ground, so to speak. So quite frankly, I don't know how he would have gotten to the location where he was, but he was outside the grounds, and I think that's something that we're going to have to figure out how he got there, said the district attorney. He added that the security services had, quote, maybe got a little lackadaisical about it. Whoop. That's the first time we've heard that word, Jeff. And thought that, quote, this wouldn't happen to a president or former president. He went on to say, maybe it's just the state of our current political situation, but yeah, you just wouldn't even think it would happen, especially in where I live, in Butler County. That was 1:46 a.m. So that is 8:50. So that's within the last 10 minutes.
And a bit of breaking news right now, former President Trump has released a statement or made a statement saying he was shot with a bullet that pierced the upper part of his right ear. So that's his report. But back to our conversation about this is that, you know, just from my own experiences, having dealt with Secret Service and security details many, many times, both for, you know, candidates and presidents and former presidents, it's just shocking to me that would have been left as open ground for somebody to put themselves up in, to have that kind of elevation, to have that kind of advantage is something they look for. And, you know, it just the amount of work that goes into visits and into big speeches like this by advance teams is astounding. The amount of work the Secret Service does is not just laudable, but it's overwhelming. Just to have somebody land or speak for a few minutes at a certain location, and to think that was not scoped out or taken care of, my guess is that perhaps maybe it was scoped out, and somebody said, "Well, we'll take care of that," and it got lost in the mix, maybe with local law enforcement. Because oftentimes, you'll find most of the Secret Service inside the perimeter, and a few of them working outside the perimeter with local law enforcement. So, that, you know, maybe that's where that goes. But what's also I'm thinking right now is that this person who was on the roof with the rifle, he knew that location was the best place for him if he had a line, if he wanted a line of sight to where Trump was. So I think that's a part of the questions we're going to be asking, or people will be delving into in the weeks and months to come, is they'll say, this person obviously knows this area. How did he have the information of where Trump would be and that type of thing?
We have news from the President of the United States. 1:48 a.m. London time. Joe Biden is speaking at a police department near his beach home, near his beach house in Delaware, where the U.S. president was spending the weekend. Mr. Biden said he had tried to call Donald Trump, but he was still being treated by his doctors. "I hope I get to speak to him tonight," said the president. "So far, it appears he's doing well." He continued, "There's no place in America for this kind of violence. It's sick. It's sick. It's one of the reasons we have to unite this country." And then a few minutes later, this from the Telegraph. "President Biden won't yet confirm attempted assassination," goes the bold face. Joe Biden also said that everybody must condemn the incident. The president spoke to reporters for just a few minutes and declined to answer when asked whether he believed it was an assassination attempt. He said, "I have an opinion, but I don't have any facts, so I want to make sure we have all the facts before I make any more comment." Mr. Biden had earlier been pictured with his security leaving church where he was when news of the Trump shooting broke. That's the latest we have from London. So he was at church, at Mass, Jeff, you've instructed me, the 5 o'clock Mass. That's what you said.
That's right.
When he was informed of the shooting. And he's waiting for more information. He's waiting to speak to Donald Trump. There are a couple of things that I don't like about this, Jeff. I don't like long guns. The night Jeff was with me the night of the Boston Brothers trying to escape the dragnet that was on for their murder of so many Bostonians with the bombs. What is that, 5-7 years ago? How long ago is that, Jeff?
Well, gosh, it's I would say at least 7 years ago. But it happened around the Boston Marathon. So that's, you know, they had the shooting of the police officer at MIT and
right.
The pressure cooker bombs and the dragnet, as you pointed out.
And what we didn't like that night as we were reporting it, because there was a chase on, a pursuit, was long guns were mentioned. And that is another kind of organization, had to have long guns present, because you don't conceal that in public. It's a different kind of assassination event, not a handgun. I told the story earlier of Teddy Roosevelt being shot coming out of a hotel on his way to make a speech in Milwaukee. That was a pistol, not a long gun. The assassination of John F. Kennedy was a long gun. The attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan was a pistol. And long guns complicate everything. Jeff, have you mentioned that there's speculation about a bullet hole that the vest might have stopped? Where on the vest?
It appears, and this is early reporting, but it appears there may have been a gunshot that was stopped by his vest on the right side of his body, in the underarm area, what would have been the rib cage. And if that's true, that's, of course, a great thing that the vest was there, because people often think about when President Reagan was shot that, you know, he got a shot that came in around his armpit chest area there and then almost lodged in his heart, or it did hit his heart. So that's what people are saying about, you know, with President Trump right now, is that he may have, you know, dodged that by having a vest on. Most of the presidents these days, when they have big public events like this, will have that, some sort of protection.
Yes, I'm looking for more updates from London, because they're getting good information and they're watching everything and they're awake. So good for them, waiting for the big match. There doesn't seem to be, well, I said that statement from the vice president saying that she is relieved that Trump, the President Trump, is not seriously injured. And that she's great. the quote from Kamala Harris, "We are grateful to the United States Secret Service, first responders, and local authorities for their immediate action." Indeed.
I want to mention, I did watch the president's news conference or his statement from Delaware. And I thought it was very sincere, very genuine, heartfelt, off the cuff. I mean, it was the old Joe Biden. He seemed very concerned, and he called President Trump Donald several times. And he said, "Look, you know, we're political opponents here. Nobody has gotten into it worse than we have, but there's no room for political violence. And I hope to speak with Donald, and I wish he and his family the best. My prayers to them." Words to that essence. But, you know, that was the kind of leadership you would hope would come out of him, that kind of statement. And I think he did a good job. So we'll see what comes of that.
Going over the history of these moments, I'm reminded of Ronald Reagan. And we talked about it earlier, Jeff, because Mr. Reagan was shot in Washington, D.C., on his way to make a speech. And the Secret Service gathered around him and bundled him into the limousine, and they took him to the hospital. But it was some time before we understood that the extent of his injuries, which were far more severe than anybody first imagined. And that's why we're cautious about these things.
Yeah.
Because the stories change with new information. And it's all incomplete now. Everything we've so far reported will change again.
That's right. I mean, in our first report, we didn't really have any bystander casualties. We weren't exactly sure about a shooter. But those things come in. I mean, you know, not only are they bundling the president off the stage, as you put, and into the escort vehicle, but they turn this area into a crime scene. They're trying to preserve evidence. They're trying to evacuate several thousand people at a time. And in some of that rush, some of that bustle is when they find out about the...
We have a statement from Donald Trump. 2 a.m. London time, so that's just within the last 2 minutes. Trump says bullet pierced his ear. This is the Telegraph reporting. I want to thank... Trump has just released this statement on a social media platform. Do you see it, Jeff? It's on Truth Social.
I do not see that here, no.
I want to thank the United States Secret Service and all of law enforcement for their rapid response on the shooting that just took place in Butler, Pennsylvania. He continues, "Most importantly, I want to extend my condolences to the family of the person at the rally who was killed and also to the family of another person who was badly injured." That looks to be confirmation, Jeff, of one KIA, one wounded, badly injured. The president, former President Trump, says, "It is incredible that such an act can take place in our country, capital C country. Nothing is known at this time about the shooter, who is now dead. I was shot with a bullet that pierced the upper part of my right ear. I knew immediately that something was wrong in that I heard a whizzing sound, shots, and immediately felt the bullet ripping through the skin. Much bleeding took place, so I realized that what was happening. Then I realized then what was happening. God bless America." Well, he sounds quite cogent for a man who was just shot, Jeff. Wow.
Yeah. And I can tell you, when I've had bullets whiz by my head before, and it shakes you up, even though it doesn't hit you. It's something you kind of think about and you relive again and again. So I can only imagine what it must feel like to get hit. And you know, the ear is a pretty good blood source. So when you have all that extra blood coming out and people lying on you saying, "Stay there, Mr. President, we're going to get you out," I'm sure all of these things mix with adrenaline to create a situation that none of us can imagine. But like you said, cogent is a good word for it.
We're going to update when we can, but right now we're moving into a situation where it's fog of investigation. We have statements from all the principals around the world, people waking up, people giving out statements. The Prime Minister of Great Britain, I saw the former Prime Minister Liz Truss make a statement. Everybody's. The Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, making a statement. So people are reacting. The political class is reacting. However, there's a huge, huge story that we don't have, which is the shooter. Jeff has pointed to the fact that the shooter was in a position with a clear line of sight on the dais and was able to reach that position without tripping any security zones. which suggests planning, doesn't it, Jeff? Suggests having checked this out beforehand. It doesn't sound like a casual approach.
I agree. To me, you know, and this is an early go at this, in my view. I've heard some people say that they think, you know, he would have some type of military or police or some sort of training like that. And to me, that doesn't sound like it if he's using a low caliber weapon like I've heard he is. But it might suggest, and it does fit with where he is geographically, is a hunter. You know, there are a lot of hunters in that part of the world. And so, you know, if he's shooting with a lower caliber rifle, but he is capable of hitting things from that distance, well, I don't know what his MO is, but certainly his capability or experience might come from hunting or target shooting over the years. And one other thing I do want to add from, you know, the shooter's vantage point, it is the closest building to the shooting target. And that alone, the fact that it's the closest building in that entire area makes you wonder, why didn't the Secret Service have somebody looking at that? Why didn't they have a cop station there? Why wasn't that cleared out earlier? It's just unfathomable.
Jeff Bliss reporting from California. I'm in Connecticut. The events in Butler, Pennsylvania will be reviewed and re-reviewed, and again they become part of presidential history. But right now there's huge pieces missing. This is, and we will keep watch. The first three reports are wrong. I always remind myself of this. I remind everybody about this. This is a moving story, and we need much more information. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.